When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wild Card, wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.
It's The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert.
Back, everybody. You know my first guest tonight from comedies like Eastbound and Down and Tropic Thunder. His new movie, Alien Covenant, is a little different.
We got company!
What?
We got company! The other side of the ship.
Open the door!
Hold tight. I'm starting my climb.
Please welcome Danny McBride.
Oh, wow.
That looks fantastic. Looks fantastic.
It's a little funny space comedy.
Yeah.
Just like the normal stuff I do.
Now, I got a little bit of cold today. I don't want to get used to it. You want a little
sure,
this action right here?
I appreciate that.
Right there?
I'm such a big fan of yours. I can't believe I'm here.
Oh, really? I'm a huge fan of yours.
From
the moment I saw
you
do your first line in Tropic Thunder, I'm like, who is that?
How'd you get hired on that?
No! Everything. That, Pineapple Express.
Oh, good. I'm getting a buzz from that.
Eastbound Down, Vice Principals. Now, I got a bone to pick with you about
yes.
Vice Principals.
Tell me about it.
Because Vice Principals shoots in Charleston, South Carolina.
Yes.
Or the county.
Yes, yes.
In the county. And I heard you just bought a house in Charleston.
I did. You know, I loved it.
That's
my hometown. I know it. That's why I moved there. I did this to orchestrate a friendship between you and I.
Well, I'm up for it. I'm up for it.
I'm game two. This is gonna work out perfect. I told my wife this would work. You know.
What sold you on being? What is it about Charleston? Said I gotta be there. What is it about the town?
You know, I just fell in love with it. And when we scouted that location for Vice Principals, we were trying to figure out where we were gonna shoot the show. Mm-hmm. And we got on the plane leaving our scout from Charleston, and I heard someone call my name, and I looked around, and it was Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And he spent the whole plane ride telling me what an incredible city Charleston was.
Yeah, Bill lives down there.
Yeah, and how we should shoot our show there.
Wow.
And
so Bill Murray convinced you.
He convinced me.
Wow, but you know he's not from Charleston, right?
Yeah, but he's been there for a while
now, understand.
Right?
I understand. But I'm from Charleston.
Yeah, you're born and raised. Yeah. Okay.
You've got to really clear this stuff for me. If you want to move to Wilmette, Illinois,
okay.
Where Bill's from, you could.
Then
that's
I can
fine.
Do that. Okay, no, that's
but,
fair enough.
But,
okay.
But he's from off.
I'm still learning the rules of how Charleston operates.
Yeah.
So, okay, I appreciate
it. He's a
this.
Comer. I'm a binner. we got to get together for in August the total eclipse of the sun
mm-hmm.
going across the United States. I think it's the 22nd or something like that of August, something like that. Going right over Charleston.
Look
we got to have
huh?
a party, my brother.
All these perks of moving to that town. I love
yeah.
it. This is great.
Now, you grew up, you're Southern. You grew up in Virginia, right?
Yeah, I grew up in a really well-known town called Spotsylvania, Virginia.
Sure.
Everyone's heard of it.
Civil War battle?
Lots of civil. I think it is the bloodiest ground in all of North America. There were so many Civil War battles there that, it takes the record. So it's very cool.
How did you go from a kid in Spotsylvania, hanging out, causing trouble, no
yeah.
doubt?
Mm-hmm.
How did you go from that to being the powerhouse that is Danny McBride? How did you get into show business?
Good question. Something I always ask myself. You know what? I always just loved movies ever since I was a kid. I would try to make them all the time, even when I was little.
Like with your friends?
With my friends. And, you know, one of our friends happened to have a video camera in sixth grade. And so that was when we started to make our first film. And it was called Stand By Me 2. And it was...
It's a sequel to the first
one? It was a sequel, and Ray Brower, the kid who's dead in the first one, comes back as a zombie to kill all the kids that saw him, that saw his dead body.
So, to get revenge?
Yeah, to get revenge.
Now, that sounds like a Stephen King story.
Yeah, it was great. It was really fun. And we, we got pretty wild with it. We, you know, everyone played a character. I was Gordy, and we were shooting my death scene, and one of our older brothers had a car. And I was like, just come at me with the car. Just not at a fast speed. I'll jump onto the hood. I'll jump onto the hood, and it'll be fine. Just go slow. And no, I literally got hit by a car. Rolled off the hood.
Yep.
And just like limped home for dinner. Mom was like, why are you limping? It's like, we're just finishing the movie.
But did you get it? Did you get it?
Yeah, we got the shot. Of course
we
did.
Oh, we got the shot. Is there any chance that this film might be available for people to see sometime?
You know, I'm the only person that has a copy of it, and no one will ever see it.
Now, you didn't break through until you were, like, 30 years old, right?
28. Come on, let's...
I apologize. Yeah, Hollywood close 28. And what were you doing before?
A plethora of things. I was a substitute teacher, a bartender,
you
a cameraman.
You were a substitute teacher?
I was.
That would have been fun.
Yeah, back in Virginia.
How often did you just, like, put on Braveheart and go, this is history?
Every day. But then, you know, when I got out to Los Angeles, I tried to up my game. And I got, I actually got a job at the Holiday Inn in Burbank. As the night manager, I figured I could, like, write scripts and stuff at nighttime while I was there.
Are we talking, like, graveyard shift kind of?
Yeah, graveyard shift. Like, when you come in at, like, 11 o'clock at night.
You're the guy.
So it's late. So I was thinking, oh, how much action can a hotel see that late at night? I'll write scripts all night long. Well, as soon as I got the job there, everyone was telling me how the top floor was haunted, that the Crystal View Lounge upstairs, there was a ghost up there. So then I just spent all my nights trying to summon the ghost. I would just, like... I would just take the elevator to the top floor and just, like, walk around the top floor, like, where are you? Reveal yourself to me. You know? It's so...
Did it work?
Well, at one point, it did work. And it never worked. And then suddenly, one night, I was up there doing it, thinking, all right, there's no way that this is gonna... I'm not gonna see him. The ghost is a lie. And I was in there. I was kind of walking around, being kind of flippant about it. And all of a sudden, just like everyone tells you, the temperature dropped. It got super cold in there. And I felt like, oh, there's definitely something in here right now. So I quickly turned, hauled ass back to the elevator, feeling like something's right behind me, get to the elevator. No one's on this floor except for me, because I'm an idiot. And it's all dark. And I'm hitting the elevator button. Finally, the elevator opens. I get inside the elevator. The elevator doors finally close. And I'm just like, man, that was crazy. And then, bing, they just open back up to a dark corridor. And I'm just looking in there, terrified. Hitting the button to close, and then on the way down, every single floor, the elevator stopped, and there was no one on any of them. And I quit soon after. I was like, my time pretending to be Jack Nicholson in The Shining is done. I'm not getting scripts written.
I gotta say, no offense to Holiday Inn, but that's a low-rent Shining.
You'd be surprised.
You've always been the night manager. Okay. I got a bone to pick with you about the Alien Covenant thing. I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay.
Looks like it's a great cast. I'm hearing great things. Mm-hmm. But this, we already showed the clip of you and the alien trying to come through the windshield at you.
Yeah, I did that for real. Yeah.
Okay. And but this clip of one of the teaser trailers, the music that you chose, or not you, but the Ridley, music chosen for this, Ridley Scott used, I find really upsetting. Jim?
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah. Take me home to the lake.
I belong. Why? Why? Why?
How dare you?
Why would you want to ruin?
I know.
A
I'm
perfectly
sorry.
Lovely song like that.
No one has ever been afraid of John Denver.
No, it's always been a memory of me driving around with my sister, 1969, in her boyfriend's blue Mustang convertible to that song. And now, forever, I will only think of this.
Yeah, it's been properly ruined for sure.
Well, Danny, it was lovely to meet you,
Nice
man.
To meet you, too.
Thanks so much for being here. I'll see you in Charleston.
See you there.
Go to the beach.
Love it.
Blue Pop.
Yes.
That's beautiful. Alien Covenant opens this Friday. Danny McBride, everybody.
Coming up, Adam Devine.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know my next guest tonight from Workaholics, Modern Family, and Pitch Perfect. He now stars in The Righteous Gemstones.
I know you see me as the firstborn, strongest in the family, but the truth is, I got emotions too.
I don't look at you that way.
Yeah, you do.
I don't?
No, of course you do.
I do not.
Look, the stuff that Dad said back there really affected me. You know, gemstones need to stick together, man. And lately, you and I, well, we've been bickering a lot. We can do better.
Yeah, well, I will admit that you have been prancing upon my nerves a lot lately.
Prancing upon your nerves?
Yeah.
What the hell does that even
mean? You're doing the moonwalk on my nerves,
man.
Oh,
give me a break.
You're dancing upon them.
Give me a break. I don't know how I'm doing that when you're the one getting on my damn nerves.
Oh, I'm getting on your
nerves. Yeah, all the damn time.
Please welcome Adam Devine.
Do they do that for everyone, or am I special?
You're special.
Okay, cool.
You're special.
Right, that's
you're
fun,
the only one, you're the only one they applaud for.
That's cool.
Yeah,
and
it is
I believe
cool.
that. Thank you,
yeah.
guys.
Hey, I understand that you've been down in my hometown,
I
down
have
in
been.
South Carolina,
mm-hmm, the Low Country.
The
a
Low
lot of
Country.
People, a
exactly.
lot of people call it that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where
that's
we shot.
What, that's because that's what it's called, actually.
Mm, well, that's debatable.
No.
But no. I specifically call it the Low Country.
Oh, good.
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
Weird.
What do you think of my hometown?
Hate it. Ew. No, it's awesome. I'm gonna wow. get a lot of hate
yeah,
mail
you
for
sure
that.
Will, yeah.
People still send mail. I love it. It was so awesome. Charleston's like, it's just a beautiful city. And
have you gotten out on the water or anything
I
like
have.
That?
I have. I mostly am in the restaurants.
Sure.
That's why my head is like 3 times larger than it normally is.
You gained weight on your skull?
I only gain weight right here. I can't fit my head through certain t-shirt holes. That's when you know you're gaining weight, when your forehead is too large.
So they don't skimp on the butter down there?
No.
No.
Ooh.
You
baby.
Name it, they'll
lather
dip
it on.
They'll dip it in concrete and deep fat fry it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite thing? Are you eating the shrimp, eating the crabs? What is it, hush puppies, red rice? What
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, I've been going real, real big on them shrimps. And they don't say shrimps.
Shrimp is plural.
I'm just
shrimp
trying
is
to
plural.
Fit
Dear
in,
Steve, you're not fitting in. You're
I'm
not
trying
fitting
to fit in.
You're actually, you're alienating yourself.
So
have
I
you had grits?
The
Did
shrimps.
You eat grits? Or hominy? Did you eat
and
grits?
And it is grits, not grit.
It's
did I just catch you?
It's actually hominy down there. They don't call
okay.
it grits. They call it hominy.
Okay.
Did I just catch
no,
you?
No, I didn't eat those. Those scare me.
Why? Why? Consistency?
Yeah, it's like it looks like slop.
Yeah. It looks like a little bit like somebody ate it first.
Yeah. It looks like some baby spittle.
Mm-hmm. A little bit. A little
yeah.
bit.
Uh-huh. And I've never saw some baby spittle and been like, yeah, that should be breakfast. You know?
So you're working with Danny McBride.
I am.
That was Danny, of course, in the clip just
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's fun.
Yeah, he's awesome. I'm like such a fan of his. So when he asked me to do the show, I was like, yeah, sure. And he's like, do you want me to tell you about it? I'm like, I guess. But I only met him like one other time before doing the show. So it was crazy. I met him. I'd had a small part on the movie Neighbors. I invented beer pong. And... yeah, pretty cool. And yeah, my career's going well. And I was at this like after party for the movie premiere, and I was with Seth Rogen, and we were smoking weed. I'm mic'd, and
it's legal almost everywhere.
Yeah, okay.
Now.
So So I was smoking weed, and I smoke weed, but not as much as Seth, you know? So I was, like, on the moon.
No.
And Danny comes in the room, and he grabs me. He's like, oh, I know this little guy. And I turn around, and it's the first time meeting him, and I'm such a fan. So I go, you're Danny McBride! And he goes, yeah? And then I go, you're a bright shooting star. That's not...
Wow. Wow.
That's not a cool thing to say. So he just goes, yeah, man. And then I grab my girlfriend at the time. I'm like, we have to leave. I just called Dan McBride a bright shooting star. I'm not cool enough to be in this room.
Did he, when you wanted to go meet him, did you have to read for it? Or did you just meet with him? Like, for this, did he just offer it to you? Or did you have to go read
for it? Yeah,
that
was like one of the coolest things that's ever happened in my short career is that they just offered me the part. They, like, wanted to meet me. And so I flew down to Charleston. I had dinner with them and ate some shrimps. And I...
Where'd you have dinner? Where'd you have dinner?
The Obstinate Daughter, I believe.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I know that place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic.
And, yeah, it's great. And then he was like, I see him like behind like a potted plant as I'm walking in. And
Danny?
Then, yeah, Danny. And I walk out, and he jumps out of the potted plant and goes, boo, scared you. And then he said the F word, which I can't say. I've been told I can't say that here.
It's true.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. You get fined. And so I was like, yep, sign me up, whatever you want to do.
Well, speaking of whatever you want to do, is this you? Is that you in that photo?
That is me.
What the hell did you do?
I'm a bad boy.
Is that you? Is this for Shark Week?
Yeah. Yeah, I got to swim with the sharks, which is super cool and fun. Also, like, everyone's like, how scared were you? I wasn't. It was so weird.
This is a tiger shark.
Yeah, it's a tiger shark.
Those are man-eating
Those
sharks.
Those are the ones
Those are
that
really
eat
dangerous
the people.
Sharks. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't. Obviously, I've poisoned my meats, so they looked at me and was like, I don't like that. He's poisoned his meats.
They could smell that you're tainted.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, just not scared, and it wasn't until afterwards that I realized how scared I should have been, because like there was cameras everywhere, so it felt like I was just acting, you know.
Right. I find that if you point a camera at me, I'll jump off a cliff.
Yeah, like, for whatever. Sure.
Oh, it's fine. We're on TV.
Yeah, I was like...
What's the worst that could happen?
I was a little scared as I was getting in, and then you get underwater, and you see all the camera guys, and then I'm, like, doing spins. And
coming
and, like,
at the shark.
Touching the sharks. They're like, don't touch them. I'm like, whee! And then it wasn't until later that I realized, that shark is not in the Screen Actors Guild. You know? they didn't go through hair and makeup before. Mm. So,
wow.
Hopefully I get to do it again. I loved it.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so
much. Nice to see you again.
Great to see
you. Up next, John Goodman.
Enjoying this episode of the Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
Is one of the finest actors alive who stars in the new movie Patriots Day. Please welcome the great John Goodman.
I didn't tie my shoe.
Don't worry about it. John was just remarking to himself that he did not tie his shoes before coming out here. That's hazard pay. You should get hazard pay for doing that.
Yep.
You know what? You just missed Santa. He was just here. Santa was
Jeepers,
just...
Mr. Kent. You just missed Superman.
Yeah.
I did again.
You missed him again. Yeah.
Jeepers.
Good guy. A little down. A little down.
Yeah?
Yeah. Tell him to cheer up if you see him, please.
Miss SantaCon.
Yeah. Just so close. So close, too. Now, you know he'd get some action at SantaCon. The actual Santa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that.
Of course you know that. You're friends with Santa.
I read it in the Post.
You,
I know Santa. I haven't seen him lately.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Merry Christmas?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you very much.
And Merry Christmas to all my friends.
Is there a... You're a big Christmas guy. You got all the decorations up and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, we have my wife bought a bonsai Christmas tree, and she's in the middle of decorating.
A little one?
Yeah, little guy on Columbus Avenue, and she's in the midst of decorating it.
Really?
Yeah, we were going to get a 50-footer and displace the people upstairs, but I'm only in the neighborhood for another month or so.
Now, you don't live in New York full time. You're here because you're on Broadway. You're doing the front page. You're doing the front page at the Broadhurst Theater.
Yes, I am.
Okay. So you're still in the middle of your Broadway run.
Yep.
For the people out there who don't know what that's like, we here think we have a hard job. We do about 200 hours of show a year. You guys do about 200 hours every 2 months, right? It's 8 shows.
I haven't done the ciphering on it, Jed, but.
No, but it's like 8 shows a week.
Yeah, 8 shows
show,
a week.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah, 3 hour
show.
That's about
200 hours every 2 months, my man. So you look like you're in fighting trim.
Is it
wearing on you, or are you?
It wears on my voice, unfortunately. But every once in a while, I get to go to a doctor. She gives me prednisone, which is a steroid. So I have a good excuse, and you know, if somebody's out in the audience with a cell phone, I can go psycho Ronnie Raines on them.
You
just
freak
some
out.
Wrestling moves.
A little roid rage on the audience members.
Yeah. Yeah. Actors with roid rage, watch out.
Do people do that? Do they take the cell phones, take photos while you're playing?
I don't know if they do. I'm not paying that close attention to anything. At the end, they'll take photos.
Okay.
And it's still illegal.
Don't make him angry. You'd still like him when he's angry, but you just don't want him to be angry. You used to live in this neighborhood, I understand.
I did. I lived 9th Avenue and 51st.
Is it changed? When did you live here?
Yeah, from 77 till 87.
Okay.
So I spent 10 years in the neighborhood. I was here another 2 years, but.
Yeah. What's the biggest thing that's changed around here?
It looks like Lexington Avenue now. It's gentrified.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. What was it like back in 77?
It was Hell's Kitchen. It was, there was an Irish mob that controlled everything, and.
Did you have to be friends with them?
No, I pretty much avoided them. Anyway, it was.
Sounds like it's a pretty good story.
It was a little rough. You know, I used to, for fun, when I was broke, I'd watch the Junkies on 52nd Street trying to nod and see who was going to hit the ground or not, recover in time.
You and your buddies would place bets, maybe? To see.
I didn't have any buddies, but yeah, thanks.
All right. No buddies? You had no buddies?
No.
What? No. How did you get started? I understand you did. Is this right? You did children's theater when you first started?
I did too.
That's how I first started. My first professional gig.
My first professional show was Rumpelstiltskin.
I really, because I'm not. My first professional gig was Rumpelstiltskin.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. We did Rumpelstiltskin versus the Queen. It was a law case. It was teaching kids how courtrooms work. So he comes in to claim the child, and then we have a courtroom. I built the set. That's what I did. Yeah.
I did a lot of van driving and costume loading and
van
stuff.
Van driving?
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was the minstrel.
The minstrel?
The minstrel. I opened the show.
Do you remember any of your lines or anything like that?
Good day to you, good day to you, good day to you, my friends. That's it.
You've got the part. You're hired. You've done. You know these guys?
I don't. I do now.
But you live in New Orleans.
Yes,
and
sir.
He's from New Orleans.
I
should get together.
Yeah, man. How you doing?
From the 504.
Is there a.
Where you at? Where you at, baby? Where you at, baby? What's happening?
You are.
I see.
How's your mom and them?
I like my mom and them, they're good. How you pardon them now?
Solid.
Well, that's all we have time for. Thank you so much.
I'm doing a movie too.
It's a vacation for me. You have done so many great movies, a lot of great Coen Brothers movies. Can you go bowling anymore? Or does everybody just yell for Walter?
I was never a big bowler anyway.
No, really?
Yeah.
No?
I got what they call a backup ball. It always goes to the gutter.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But I went to bowling to drink. I mean, let's face it.
It is one of the few sports that has a bar right there. Like right curling and bowling.
They'll bring it to you.
Really?
Yeah.
You go to better bowling alleys than I do. Hey, could I ask you a favor? Would you say something for me? Let's just try. If I was going to ask Walter to say something to the president-elect of the United States, would Walter have a message to Donald Trump?
You're out of your element, Donnie.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I might play that on a loop. Now, your new film is called Patriots Day, and it's about the Boston bombing of the Marathon. And what do you remember about it? Because people remember where they were when that happened. It was so shocking. Where were you?
I was in Germany shooting a film, and it's just shocking. It was like an invasion.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really extraordinary. And you play the police commissioner, Ed Davis.
Ed Davis, yeah.
And what's sort of his role in this story?
He's kind of a conciliator, a healer of the city. He brings people together, different factions, the FBI, Boston police, the local police. It's an impossible job trying to quell the fears of the city, and you have angry cops, and people are angry at the Muslim community, just trying to quell things and intensify a manhunt to get these guys off the street before they were on their way down here.
Well, we have a clip here, and it is both the FBI and the Boston police in the room together trying to figure out whether to release photographs that they believe they have of the Tsarnaev brothers. Jim?
Those are not our guys. Meanwhile, you guys aren't any closer to identifying the two we're really looking for. We need to release those pictures.
If we release the photos now, we have zero control.
If we overplay our hand, we may force these guys to react.
Gentlemen, if I may... Right now, Boston's working against us. Yeah, that's normal. You got to murder, no one rats. We don't got that problem. Because in this city, when it comes to terrorism, everybody wants to talk. Look, you got a lot of people talking, but they're talking about the wrong people. You release the photos of our guys, sit back and listen, trust me. You got to start letting Boston work for us, I'm telling you.
I understand Boston. But I can't just snap my fingers. This decision goes all the way up to the Attorney General.
Then give me his number. I'll call him right now.
This is my...
City, Rick, release the damn pictures.
John, thanks so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Patriots Day is in theaters December 21st. John Goodman, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
Hey everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.